At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, hour number two? Hey, it's The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. You know what that means, boys? We got to pick a way back Wednesday.
Oh, damn it.
We always let that slip by. So you guys want to give your suggestions, get them in now. You can reach us via Twitter, at Barry is funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'll start contemplating what we should do for Way Back Wednesday tomorrow. In the meantime, shout out to Hawk Security. As the Hawk Security Services is bringing this show to you today, we were supposed to be at Aunt Pookie's Barbecue. Had some technical difficulties. Rocky and JC and the people at Hawk Security were there. We appreciate them immensely. Nate Griffin was there. He was going to join us. But unfortunately, we had to hightail it back to the station to make sure that we give you what you are looking forward to on a daily basis. And that is a good show here at The Usual Suspects.
All right, let's get to some text, and then we need to talk. Trisday and what's going on there.
Right.
This blank airwave is actually pretty competitive with Joel and Barry. That was from OU Mike.
That was nice.
That was OU Mike.
Oh, y'all missed the call by OU Mike.
I heard it.
Mm-hmm. He tried to talk in Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Barry, 32 here, the one with the wife who's 57, and we just had our first child who's one now. She would disagree with you about old people driving slow. She drives a Cadillac ATS-V 130 down 99.
Well, you, ma'am, are not safe.
Right? You're dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Although those ATSs are nice.
Okay.
I would like one of those. When Barry smiles, he looks like he fell into the chemicals that messed up the Joker. All right, 283-0845. You can kiss my ass. I've been told I have a beautiful smile by plenty of people. Also, send a picture of your ugly ass.
Let's see it. Let's do that. Yeah. Yep. Let's do that.
Send me a picture of you smiling. I'll make an exception and I will actually download a picture from the text line. Let's see your dumb ass smile.
All right. I'll tweet it at you now.
Oh, that was you that texted it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
No. That's not my number. You know my number.
Barry bit in and that's normally your job, Nick.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Is that your no?
He really believed it, too.
Hook, line, and sinker.
I want a registry like for sex offenders, except for people that don't wash their hands. That's from Chris Householder. I already had one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Vote Barry 2018. Damn right. Abercrombie is garbage. You are blocked. Joel seems like the kind of guy that would wear jorts.
All right, 563-4578. Yeah, you're on notice, too, in the 4-0. Never mind. Hey, here's what you do. You send us a picture, too, and then we're going to judge you because you seem like the guy that looks in the mirror and goes, God, he's good looking. And everybody else goes, what an a-hole. He's dorky.
I feel like that was over the top just for a jorts comment. No one made fun of your smile. No one made fun of your face.
Clearly, Barry read that intentionally, but we didn't expect that reaction.
Yeah,
well, you read that intentionally.
He's all up in the inbox.
All up in the text messages?
Getting in them fields. Because I delete some, too. I'm like, nope, you're not getting that. Nope. But I'll read one of my hates and one of his hates. My hate was clearly much higher. They made fun of my whole face. He just got jorts.
I would never in my life wear jorts.
Anymore.
Ass clown. Go look in the mirror and figure out how I could dissect you.
I think jorts are coming back. I just want to go on.
Jorts and fanny packs. Can't wait for you to display those for us.
Let's be real. If anyone is the first to rewear jorts and a fanny pack at this station, it's not going to be me. It's not going to be you.
Nope.
Charlie Pillillo.
Raheel.
Oh, Raheel probably
good
would
point.
Bring it back. Actually, it would totally
point.
Be Raheel.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he would wear the jorts where he rolls them up just above the knee.
He'll get like a Euro fanny pack over his shoulder.
Let's be honest. Chris Tubbs already wears the jorts. He just needs the fanny pack, and he's back.
I haven't noticed that on Tubbs.
Tubbs, he'll go jean shorts on.
But I feel like Raheel would roll them up like Debbie Gibson, like just right above the knee, pinch roll them a few times.
Did you just say like, Debbie Gibson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a nice pull, wasn't it?
Love Only in My Dreams?
Wow. I couldn't have named a song, so.
I could.
All right, what's up with Trey? Why am I seeing these emo tweets coming from his Twitter account? What do y'all know that I don't?
So, Nick, I don't know. We'll fill in the pieces together. What I know is that he did send a social media message last night that said basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, if this is my last day there, the guys on air and everybody at the station have been like family to me, and I hope we don't lose touch and everything else. And that just set everyone off, from listeners to other people. So I texted him and I go, why do we do this like once a month? What's up? And he's like, well,
he's very emo.
I may have gone too far, but someone got under my skin and I decided I should have held back and I didn't. That's on me.
Oh no. And so this is all his doing?
And I said, so what happened? And he said, I was answering the phones and Tyler, as he always does, belittles me and he came at me and I wasn't having it and I cussed at him and I yelled at him.
So he was triggered by Tyler.
Which is not shocking. I don't get this, why they just don't get along and they just go at each other all the time.
Look, here comes Tyler. Now you've done it now.
Here you asked me what happened. This is what he told me.
Look, here comes Tyler talking. Like we're on air, Tyler. No.
I don't think he wants us to talk about it, to be honest.
Why?
I don't know.
He just... Trey's already ruined it. He put it out there in the public. He tweeted it out. It's common knowledge. This isn't something we're hiding. He tweeted it out. He's upset, and I want to know what happened.
So that's about all I know, and I just said to him, I said, come on, man. You've got to be able to control your emotions.
He does. He gets very emotional.
Yeah, and I said—
He's very emo.
When you get caught in your feelings and you can't just lash out, you got to think about it. You got to catch yourself. And, you know, of course, he did that. Yeah, you're right. I got to be better and all that other stuff.
I hate when he agrees with you right away.
Yeah.
That drives me insane because he doesn't, like, he won't even let you finish. You're like, man, you really know. I know, you're right. Like, no, let me finish first. I'm giving you some good advice from a person that's been through this.
But the thing is that on social media, he had everybody believing that it was far more serious than anything at ESPN. Like, he was seriously considering the
I thought that
the
they
end.
Were like, get out. But he's just considering not coming back is what it is.
I don't know.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Oh.
We got to know. But I seen, like, people are tweeting Gal Media, like, no, not Trey.
You see those tweets? See? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, see, Trey, you can't do this, bro. You got to keep this in-house. Can't just put it out there. Because then we all want to know, and we're going to talk about you on the radio. So, got to stop being emo, bro. Got to stop being emo.
I feel like you set me up there.
Why?
Because you asked what I knew, and I told you, and then Tyler's upset. Like, we were
I didn't set you up.
I didn't even know Tyler was going to be upset about it.
I didn't know Tyler would get all emo about it either. Yeah. I had no idea.
He's not really getting emotional about it. I'm just saying, like, I didn't know either, but yeah, there was a little
something
incident.
Like that would be a big deal. My God, we've talked about way worse on this show. Between us.
And we've talked about that very subject at least three or four times.
All right, so the Wayback Wednesday themes are rolling in.
Okay. Sex Dolls?
No. Best football stadium anthems or songs in honor of college football. Songs from the year you were born. Done that. Yep. Then there was a tweet from Clarence that said, Wayback Wednesday's suggestion, songs about time. Very funny, Clarence. It wasn't our fault, okay?
Yeah.
It wasn't our fault. So don't let Nick give you that fake news.
Nick,
that we
was
were
it
late.
True that they asked Charlie to fill in and he went, nee! I don't think
I didn't see him. I didn't see Jong ask. So
okay,
I really don't know
because he has that intimidation factor. No one wants to get near the big man. I say that just in like reputation.
No, I just walked over. I saw Dell just sitting there. I'm like, hey, Dell, you want to hop on for a segment or two? These two bozos are late for their show. He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And that's what happened.
Somebody said I went to that sex doll site you talked about yesterday.
Of course you did.
And used promo code Nick.
No discount.
And got the doll for free. And they said to tell him that they miss him. I kind of feel like I just had a rite of passage being told I'm blocked for my Abercrombie is garbage comment. Yeah. Well, welcome to the club.
You're obviously not blocked because he just read another one.
What?
Shocker. Figure that one out.
Oh, my goodness. What else is going on?
I mean, a lot. The Astros won a big game after they spotted the A's 4 runs. Gerrit Cole looked bad after giving up 2 two-run bombs. He hadn't given up a home run since, I think, June.
Yeah.
And got touched up a little bit. But, boy, they came back strong. They did a number on the A's. Now a 2.5-game lead, 3 in the loss column. That's stuff to talk about. Springer's not going to be out 2 months.
Oops. You're hearing a lot of talk about Bregman being the MVP of this team, best player on this team. Polillo was singing his praises about if you had to let everybody go and everybody walk in free agency except one player, who do you keep? And Polillo was like, you keep Alex Bregman. So we know Polillo drinks before the show.
Correct.
But I feel like this is a good time now for me to go back to that Facebook post on ESPN where everyone said I was a dumbass for suggesting Bregman be moved to the two hole, that he was fine where he was at 7 and that the Astros offense would be fine there. This is just a good time to bring that
Why
up.
Why would again. You ever do something
I
like
mean,
that?
I mean, just to think I'm just going to go back in there and post. Idiots.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We'll get us some Astros talk. We've got lots to get to on our agenda. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, HRP listener line is open. 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter. And if you get a chance, you can give a shout out and a thank you to Hawk Security Services, who is bringing you this show today. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, Joel, we got an hour vacation, or a little less, as we were in transit thanks to some technical issues at Aunt Pookie's Barbecue, Beltway 8 between I-10 and Hammerly. Great food, great people there. We really appreciate Jesse and all the guys that we met there. But unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties, so we had to haul back to the station. The program today is brought to you by Hawk Security Services. Rocky, JC, those guys, they were there talking to people.
Good dudes,
getting great information. So they got a lot of good stuff going on.
Whole team out there.
They had a drawing going on for a lot of stuff, so hopefully we'll reschedule that so you get a chance to win a barbecue pit and a whole bunch of stuff there. But Hawk Security gets a tip of the cap today.
So we had mentioned Alex Bregman real quick with Charlie in the previous segment, and then Blake Adams had a question for us. Better third baseman this year and most potential, Eugenio Suarez or Alex Bregman? He said, I think it's Bregman, but I want to hear y'all's opinion. I for me, it's Bregman as well, but not for the reasons you might think. I think power numbers-wise, home runs, RBIs, stuff like that, they're very similar at the plate. I think the difference for me is two things. I think Bregman is a better defender. Or a better defensive third baseman.
Right, yep.
And I think that he's got better bat control. If you look at their numbers, they're very similar until you look at a couple things. On-base percentage is one, and strikeouts. Alex Bregman doesn't strike out a lot at all. And Suarez is the complete opposite. You just need to bring the lemonade because he's bringing the AC. So for me, my money, I'll take Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I would too. And I think the other thing is the maturity level thing, because Bregman's already been through kind of the ups and downs and the struggles. You know, what he went like 1 for 18 to start his first time ever in the bigs. And as you mentioned, he has developed quite an eye at the plate. He's very selective. He doesn't chase bad pitches. And he's becoming more and more of a leader on this team. And he doesn't shy away from any spotlight or any attention or any pressure situations. And that's on both sides, on defense and when he's at the plate. Last night was huge. The ball he hit to the opposite field, I didn't think had any chance of getting
out. No way. That swing was not a home run swing.
No.
He inside out of that ball, and I thought, that's either going to get down or get caught. And then it went over the fence, and I was like, oh. Didn't see that coming. A couple other reasons to choose Alex Bregman over Eugenio Suarez. One, age. Bregman's obviously younger. When you're talking about potential, Suarez might be reaching his peak. Bregman may not even be there yet. Two, Well, actually, three reasons. Number two is I don't know what Suarez is doing after he hits a home run, but it can't be nearly as good as Alex Bregman's celebration. And number three, Alex Bregman's beefing with AJ Hoffman, and I don't think Suarez is doing that. So there's all the reasons why you.
The first thing you covered is exactly what I was going to go to as well. Everybody thinks Suarez is younger, but he's just not as experienced.
27, 28 years old.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that you're looking at a guy that's more poised, more experienced, and younger. There you go. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
There you go. We're going to come away back Wednesday. Suggestions. Songs from the year the Cleveland Browns were a significant team. I don't think we can go that far back to any good songs. So was Bernie Kosar our year?
No.
No? And they were relevant?
I remember Bernie Kosar because he had the
But I'm
the
saying that's the last, to me, that was the years they were relevant.
Testaverde, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, damn. I forgot about
that. Yeah, Testaverde was after Kosar.
What a garbage franchise.
Yeah.
After Jim
Hasn't
Brown.
Hasn't been great for a long time. Look at how many quarterbacks they've gone through. Hard Knocks tonight, too. We'll get to that.
Oh,
that's good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff. It's been a very compelling and good year at Hard Knocks so far. But in terms of the Astros, too, there's a thing going on, too, with the fact that we were out there blasting. Springer could be out a long time, and that the injury might be more severe than it might possibly be. I give Patrick Creighton a shout-out just because of the fact that he tried to give our listeners and our viewers on sportsmap.com information that he believed his sources on, and he still believes that what he said in his article is the truth, which is, this is something that's going to be lingering. It's not something that's going to go away this year. He's going to have to deal with it the rest of the season. And then from there, it kind of, with the headlines and things that people do, it got a life on it, of its own. So Pat was trying to do a good thing. But the good thing, if you're an Astros fan, is better news is Springer, although he is going to be dealing with this, had a big hit last night, looks very comfortable, is back in the lineup. And when he is back in the lineup and those guys are coming back, they're a different ball club.
Well, and when he's taking those swings where he's falling down, that lets you know that he feels good enough to be able to swing like he swings. Because he'll take some out-of-control swings where he stumbles or falls or he looks like he's screwing himself into the ground. So when you see that, he's not hesitating. He's not holding back anything. That is definitely a good sign at the plate.
So A.J. Hinch talked a little bit about George Springer's injury and what they're dealing with.
No, he needed to get back in there and get in the, you know, start contributing. I mean, I think even before he got hurt, he was getting really frustrated with not doing a ton. And this time of year, you look up at the scoreboard, your numbers aren't completely set, but they're in range of where they're going to end up over the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, given all the at-bats these guys have. So if you drag that baggage with you when you get back into it and try to make up for lost time or make up for lack of performance, this game gets really, really hard. So I like the fact that the walk at the end of the game, the double, obviously. I like that he had to break out of the box and go full sprint to first base, and that he clears that hurdle mentally of just turning it on and having to go full speed. So we all know what he can do when he sparks us at the top. The quality at bat that he gives really does set the tone.
And again, the emotional leadership that he brings. We're talking about Bregman, but boy, talk about a guy keeps him loose, keeps him laughing, keeps him kind of in the moment, but then brings that intensity. And when something good happens, I don't know what they're doing right now, if they're milking the cow, driving the bus, but everybody's doing it when they get a big hit.
Shake weight.
And you could see the emotion that these guys had last night, regardless of when we sit there and look at go or talk about, hey, they just don't ever seem to be really like a sense of urgency, like they're worried. But in a game last night that we didn't have to build up as being the start of a big series, you could tell with every guy that got a hit, especially in that big five-run inning, every guy that got a hit was jacked up when he looked back into that dugout.
Bregman said it best in the post-game interview when they talked to him. He said, look, we're back, we're healthy, it's time to kick it in gear. And
you hear what else he said? I think when we're healthy, we're the best team in the world.
Oh, well.
He said it to ESPN, too.
So far, they've proven to be that since last year. What a weird game, though, last night. It was a fun game to watch, although finally when they went up 11-4, I was like, okay, I can go to bed now.
I agree. I was sitting there. I was hanging in, and my mother-in-law started watching with me after she got Taylor to go to bed, and I was telling her about the freeze frame thing with Bregman and everything that's – and lo and behold, he hits the bomb. And I'm like, well, we can go to bed now, but you definitely need to see this. And then she just started laughing. She goes, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So again, it's endearing to everybody.
The Reddick.
Oh my goodness.
The Reddick base running was hilarious, by the way. Do we have the audio of that, Nick? Can you play that? It's great.
Josh Reddick stands in the leadoff against a new pitcher for the A's. First pitch to Reddick. And Josh lines this one in the left field. Racing back is Martini, and he leaps, and he drops the ball.
Reddick's going to reach, and now he's going to head to second on the overthrow, and now the ball gets away. Reddick doesn't realize it, and now he's going to head to third. What a strange way for Reddick to get to third.
Reddick pounds the dirt.
Dude. The best thing is that he's standing on second, dusting himself off, and everyone, yeah, I'm losing my mind. Yeah. The dugout, the fans. He's literally the only one in the stadium that doesn't know he should be running.
He scores if he's running right away?
I was thinking about that. No, I actually think he gets thrown out at the plate.
I think
it's a close play at the plate, but I think he gets thrown out. So I think it was kind of a blessing in disguise that he didn't see that. Now, if he reads it off when he's rounding first and he can see the throw.
He thought it was going to be caught. He eased up before he even got to first base.
Yeah, and then he has to run again, and then he slides into second thinking he's going to be thrown out because the throw might have beat him once he bobbled the catch, and then it sailed over set. So, no, I think he ends up getting thrown out at home. So I think it worked out perfectly that he ends up on third base. Other thing that was weird from the game was I don't remember what inning it was, but, man, the A's outfield was taking some really terrible routes to baseballs. Mm-hmm. And you thought, you know, you expect better of a team that's in the hunt than the defense that they played last night. I thought, man, these are the kind of things that they're going to look back on. And some of these routes that they've taken, even the home run, Alex Bregman home run, the route that
Piscotty
took, I was like, dude, you're lucky that it went over the fence because you'd still be chasing that
Laureano's,
ball that bounced off
not
the
only
wall.
The route that Laureano took on the ball to the gap in right center, but you take for granted how much of an art form it is that how Springer slides to cut off balls in the gap. He could have literally torn his ACL the way he tried to do that slide, and he looked like he blew a tire. That was ugly. Yeah, their outfield, and I know he's got a cannon for an arm, but man, their outfield, they did take some crazy routes, but the overall thing, too, that I was surprised at, I'll be honest, when it was 4-0 and Cole was getting touched up, I was like, man, I might turn this off because I really can't stand to see the Astros get pummeled in another home game in a big situation. And then, lo and behold, 7 hits in the inning, and you're like, this is the Astros team I like.
I was outside planting stuff in the front yard. Didn't get in, got showered, sit on the couch, Nora's making dinner, turn the TV on, it's 4-1.
That's why you're young fertilizer.
In that inning, it was 4-1, and I thought, oh, hell, 4-1. And then there's the hit, and then they start scoring. I'm like, okay, I'm glad I missed all the other crap.
Yeah.
So
young Ferdy found out in a hurry that it can be pulled from the depths of the dead.
It just popped in my head.
And he thought I was young. I was young puppy dog for puppy food.
No, young dog food. It was the thing World Star Hip Hop did. Your rap name is Young, and then the last thing you purchased. And mine was Young Fertilizer.
Mine was Young Groceries.
Well, I said Young Dog Food. I just took a guess at y'all's, and I can't say on air what Nick's was.
And I was sitting there thinking,
Young Taquito? I mean, I had a taquito this morning.
Okay, see, okay. Young Taquito.
I think it was Young Peanut Butter and Biscuits.
Nope. It's false.
How's your armpit?
Fake news.
I don't know. I just felt something. I felt like something was crawling in there.
See,
was
looking
weird.
In his armpit, Nick?
He did it on the video stream. I think the city of Houston noticed that.
Just like to point out, I'm not the one that shattered that.
Shattered what?
What?
Hey, we'll be right back. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. He's such a little tattletale, Nick.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And he drives one high and deep to left field. He can see this ball. It is gone for a three-run home run. 11-4, Astros.
Hey, that was AT&T SportsNet, Todd Callis, I'm very bummed, by the way. Not that I have anything against Mike Stanton, but the biggest series so far this year and the Blummer is out. I actually tweeted him during the game because he was apologizing. I was like, dude, if you need some reps, we got spots on the air. You can just stop in and join us. He retweeted it. Because I was like, man, you got to have Blummer for these games.
Always.
But Tyler White had a little bit of an eye issue, drops, contacts, whatever it was, but he comes through with a bomb himself. But a big explosion offensively for the Astros, particularly late when they blew it wide open. Got the first game of this big three-game series against the Oakland Athletics. Tonight, Charlie Morton against a guy that's been pretty good lately, Edwin Jackson.
So this is the three-game series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Day game tomorrow.
It was an important win to get off the bat because if you drop that game and you go down a half game, you don't know what's going to happen over the next two. Plus, you're at home. Plus, now that you won that game, they really don't make up that much ground if you split the next two or even if you drop the next two. They just get the one game. So, big win. I think it's safe to say a big win since this is the only race in the American League. Every game is going to be really important.
In the American League, right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. The National League has tons of good races still left to be decided. But, yeah, in the American League, this is literally the only race left.
Right.
But, yeah, that was a big win. Good to see them get started and get it going at home where they've struggled a little bit this year.
They had lost 9 in a row at home at one point a week or so ago. You just can't have that.
No. And Tyler White has been hitting in the ball well, Gonzalez, Bregman, obviously. So it's good to see this team kind of clicking and getting back together. Now you might add another good arm to the bullpen, unfortunately, in Lance McCullers. But I think that's probably – I know that they're saying, well, he may not be ready. And this is just me thinking, okay? This isn't any information that I have from anyone or anything like that. No, this is just me thinking when I read what you had posted in the rundown about how A.J. Hinch said probably McCullers stays in the bully and is not going to start because he's not going to have the strength built up.
Endurance, right?
Yeah, and if you hadn't heard that, surprise, Lance McCullers may not start another game this year, but he will pitch out of the bullpen. So part of me thought, okay, that's really smart for a couple of reasons. You know that durability-wise, McCullers, I don't think he's made it through a year yet in the majors where he hasn't missed some time due to injury.
That's correct.
You've got the playoffs around the corner, you've got September call-ups around the corner. Now, I understand that you're in a playoff race and every game is going to be important. I do understand that. But I think what you might be seeing, too, is them already getting their rotation and their bullpen and everything set up and planned for the playoffs because you're not going to have four or five starters. Now, would Lance McCullers normally be a fourth starter for you in the playoffs or a third starter for you? Absolutely. But this rotation from beginning to end is sick. And he's, with his injuries, this gives you a chance to rest him, have a dominant arm, another dominant arm in that bullpen, and get everything set up the way you're probably going to do it in the playoffs. So it makes a little sense for him not to come
back. But here's the other thing why it makes sense, too. Because everybody has been clamoring all year to say that he should be in the bullpen, and one of the things that I've brought up that we've discussed is the fact that if you think he's had arm problems before with 4 days off, 5 days off between starts, try and getting him to go back-to-back games, 2 games in a row, 3 games in 4 days, where you got to throw him, like AJ's been using the bullpen lately, where guys have been making appearances 2 and 3 days in a row. This is a way where you can test it a little bit and say, is he a guy where his arm is capable of doing what people have considered him, including the Astros using him in the playoffs like that in the past, so that we know what we have come playoff time. We have a guy we can go to like we did last year and get him in different spots where we need him. Get him out of a jam, out of the bullpen. Start him if we need to. But if his arm acts up at all, it sends the red flag, but you're prepared to say, okay, we are prepared to go forward without him and no expectations because of the fact that we can't rely on his arm holding up the rest of the season.
And when you think about it, you're probably in a four-man rotation in the playoffs anyways, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's rarely are you using a fifth starter in the playoffs. So you've got Verlander, Keuchel, Cole, and Morton as your four that's pretty legit when you consider two of those guys are have just been lights out all year in Verlander and Cole. Keuchel's picked it up, pitching really well. Obviously, Morton has been pretty steady.
But here's
not,
the other
not
thing.
Like he was, but...
Don't you also think that because Valdez has shown such great potential in his last two starts that they've eased up, they can relax a little bit going, hey, and if we did have to search for another guy, we found him. He looks like he's fully capable of contributing. Remember now, in the past when they've tried to do things like this with a Martez, with guys like that, they've shown they're just not ready for prime time yet. They've shown that it, in a competitive environment with a team that's hunting down a pennant and a World Series, it's not they're not ready yet.
Well,
he's looked at least early on like he can give you some innings.
Valdez has shown signs, but boy, you need to see a lot more out of him. Before you start relying on him down the stretch, I think if anything, if he falters a little bit, then you might either see him sent back down or relegated to the bullpen. Because you remember, you've still got two guys in that bully that could come out and start for you in Brad Peacock and Colin McHugh. And I know you may not want to be taking Colin McHugh's arm out of that bullpen, but he's a guy that's wanted to start. And if in an important game down the stretch, I think, and AJ Hinch mentioned this too, you might even see us go to an all bullpen day where there is no real starter. It's just a start by committee where the whole bullpen.
What they call it? An opener?
Yeah.
Where, you go by openers?
Yeah, you have an opener and a closer, and everything in between is all bullpen stuff. McHugh pitches two innings. Peacock pitches two innings. And then you start, you know, doing matchups the rest of that way. That's possible, too. But those are two names to keep in the back of your mind that might come out there if they're in a situation where, hey, this is a must-win, and all of our other guys are not on their regular rest, so. I don't know that in the long run, do you trust a guy like Valdez?
No, I'm not saying trust him in a big playoff series, but it's nice to know because whether you need someone to soak up some innings, you know, God forbid you get into a situation where you're losing a game in the playoffs or something and you don't want to blow a lot of your pen.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he stepped in with some poise. He's shown he can get some pitches over the plate. He can do some things. And obviously, he's 2-0 in the regular season, so that helps you have some confidence. He can build on some things between now and the end of the regular season to where you can say, hey, we got another guy now that we can actually insert if we need to.
Yeah, he's shown some signs. Thing that concerns me a little bit, 4 walks over the 9 innings.
Yep.
That's a bit much.
And the hit batsman on top of that, because he hit some people.
Yeah. So, but you know, a little bit of hope there. Of course, we saw this from several guys that aren't even around anymore. So, like I said, you just got to give that kid some time. Couple of texts real quick. And you're not going to like this one. I'll just skip it.
Go ahead.
Shout out to NASCAR Johnny.
We love you, Johnny.
Somebody asked, who would you choose between Bregman and Bryant? That's a much tougher decision for me than the Suarez decision. I think you got to go with the guy that's won a Rookie of the Year and an MVP. And if you don't, I mean, I see the argument for Bregman, the potential and what he can do in the future, but give me past performance.
I agree. When you got a track record like that, that means that you have established yourself.
I'll take Brian in that situation.
Yeah, no doubt.
LU Dillon said, Barry, just confirm you only read about 90% of my text. Yeah, I'm not going to read the ones where you're hating on other people or other shows. I'm just not going to read those. I mean, we like to have fun and joke around, but yeah, I'm not going to start. We'll pick on other shows and we'll pick on the Blitz and AJ and Fred as all in good fun, but hey, I'm not going to start enabling the listeners to start being that mean to other shows. So you're right, Dillon. I do skip some of yours.
We know exactly where that can go too. So
what?
It can get out of hand in a hurry.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. We're going to continue to roll on. Shout out to Hawk Security again. We appreciate you bringing the show to the listeners today. It is the usual suspects at ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number two of the 3-hour big show, we call the usual suspects. Hour number one, we started at Aunt Pookie's barbecue. We hustled our butts over here to the studio.
Wow, I hustled.
To finish. Hawk Security Services bringing you the entire show for the entire 3 hours. Today, we appreciate them. Shout out to Hawk Security, Rocky, JC, and the boys. Always a good time to see you guys and talk about the great security you provide to people in the Houston area.
Indeed.
Do want to give you this stat, Mr. Numbers Guy.
Yes, bring it.
Compliments of our friend Adam Wexler, yes. KPRC Channel 2. Last night, the Astros played their first game with Springer, Altuve, and Correa in the starting lineup since June the 25th. That was 50 games. In those 50 games where they did not have at least one of those guys, they were 28-22, which still isn't bad. Six games over 500.
Not bad in baseball.
Their record in the 81 games when all three of them play, 53-28.
Pretty good. Yeah. It's kind of like the Rockets when you got Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capella all playing. Mm-hmm. When you get your big three out there, makes
you know,
a difference.
Not only that, but again, people lose sight of the fact that they're on pace with last season in terms of the overall where they're going to finish.
They're
with,
like ahead by a game.
And it might be, like I was going to say, within a game or so. And for all the criticisms, the biggest problem you got is not the record. It's the fact that you got a team on your ass this year. That's the biggest thing. The A's aren't going away.
Somebody was talking to AJ Hinch, and they said, the big difference is the rest of the league is better. Yeah. The rest of the AL is better than they were last year. And the rest of the division is actually playing a little bit better than they did last year. There was no one in this division that competed with the Astros last year. Nobody. And now you had the Mariners. You have the A's. So it's a bit different now. It's a much better competition for the division and the playoffs. Shout out to Scott in Deer Park, by the way. Take care, big homie.
No doubt, big man. We are pulling for you. Get better soon.
Yep, a couple of things for Way Back Wednesday, and then we can proceed with some other things, because I know you've got that Facebook thing, and we've got this. I want to talk about this menu where Justin Verlander ate.
Which is ridiculous. This is
stupid. But some Way Back Wednesday suggestions. What 5 songs would you have on your playlist if you were stuck on an island? We could do that. That's not bad.
Should ask Dell about that. Wasn't he stuck on an island? What was he listening to?
My suggestion, this is from OU White.
That was racist.
Yeah, OU
White. He's athletic, too.
Yeah, OU White, definitely, probably, OU Mike. My suggestion for Way Back Wednesday, songs that Trey and Tyler would have makeup sex to. Just give it like 3 seconds, and then Tyler will turn around and give us the finger. He's not reacting. Songs that have something to do about the 4 teams you think will be in the college playoffs. So whoever gets Sweet Home Alabama and then from there, basically, is what you're saying. No. Yeah. Are there any songs about Clemson? Eye of the Tiger.
But LSU would argue it fits them too.
Yeah, but if you don't think LSU's it, you don't have to worry about it. Are there any songs about Huskies?
Roll Tigers.
Are there any songs about Badgers?
On Wisconsin. That's the only one I know.
Yeah, sorry, that idea is not going to fly.
Nope.
We tried, though.
But they are number 4 in the country.
There's a lot of folks.
A lot of people jumping on that bandwagon.
Those 4 teams that I just named are the 4 teams that everybody's pretty high on for the playoffs.
They're saying that offensive line with another year with a good running back, they might be okay.
Yeah,
we'll indeed. See. You know me. I'm like you. I'm not sold on them, but I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm sure by now a lot of people saw this Instagram post from Justin Verlander where he took a picture of a receipt from a restaurant. Beverly Hills Hotel. Not a cheap place to eat.
No.
And on the receipt, the waiter or waitress, probably waiter, I'm guessing, put a $1 million charge for beating up on the Dodgers. And so it was funny. It was ha-ha. But what people maybe didn't notice when they saw this were the prices of some of the other things that were on the menu. And Nick has printed out the menu for us. And let me tell you what. Whatever your goals are in life, your goal should be Beverly Hills Hotel menu money. That's your real goal in life. Dude, let me just start with a jumbo beef hot dog. $34 for a hot dog. I'm out. I don't care how rich I am. I can't see myself paying $34 for a hot dog.
Yeah, and then not only that.
The salads, man.
That's what he ordered. He ordered the McCarthy salad, and that one was
$42. 42 bones for a salad, bro.
That is stupid. Now, is it like Goldschlager where there's flakes of gold in the salad?
I don't know.
That's the croutons.
You're charging me $42.
Let me read, who's eating with? Because who's ordering a hot dog that's supposed to be a well-tuned machine?
I was just reading off the menu. Okay. So this is what's in the McCarthy salad.
Yeah.
Romaine iceberg organic chicken, egg, roasted beets. I'm out.
I hate beets.
Bacon, avocado, cheddar, tomato, balsamic vinaigrette. For $42, if this salad doesn't fill a bathtub...
I was going to say, it better be the size of the pool up back.
That is ridiculous.
I'm ordering that and then doing a split check. I'm going to split that salad.
Yeah, right?
$42?
That's so stupid. There are...
Well, how much did he pay for pancakes? I want to say
you
want to
know
bucks?
How much chips and salsa is?
Yeah.
Chips and guacamole. Or salsa and guacamole. $22. This is just the stupidest.
He's got that mad paper, though.
Yeah, a breakfast burrito for $34 with soy chorizo. I'm out. Soy chorizo? L.A., get your bleep together. Who's eating soy chorizo?
I have no idea.
That's the bougiest.
It doesn't sound good.
No, that sounds horrible.
He does come across as kind of...
bougie?
Hoity-toity.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my God. Have you seen his Instagrams and stuff like that when he's talking about all his cars and all the...
I mean, dude's got money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Did anything else stand out to you on there, Nick? The $34 hot dog was just...
Well, he ordered $30 pancakes. The tortilla chips actually stood out to me as well. $22 for that. The salsa and guacamole, I thought that was ridiculous. The salad was ridiculous. And then there was some... something he paid $9 for that was probably worth 50 cents on that Instagram post. That I don't...
It was probably a straw, knowing L.A. and Beverly Hills Hotel.
And this is
like,
just
can
one
I get a straw for my water?
This is just one of four restaurants at the Beverly Hills Hotel. The Cabana Cafe is what we're... this is the menu for the Cabana Cafe. This is one of four restaurants that I saw on the website. There may be more.
Oh, hell no.
So I'm assuming all the restaurants at this particular hotel is similar.
Shrimp cocktail, $28.
Yeah. That actually sounds cheap based on everything else.
A SoCal omelet for $36.
What's the most expensive thing?
Two eggs, any style, $28. You know what style I want? I want them to come with stocks and bonds. I want that style for $28.
You want the Bitcoin omelet?
So get this. So the most, first of all, the two things I want to point out.
Okay.
The most expensive item on the menu that I see, $50 for grilled salmon, right?
Okay.
Is the L silent?
I said the L. And then the other thing is the note at the bottom. During peak hours or peak times, sitting times are limited to 2 hours. So people are clamoring to sit here, and they can't sit for the entire time. They actually get kicked out if it's more than 2 hours.
So I pay $34 for a hot dog that I can't even sit and enjoy for more than 2 hours.
You can't take your time eating it.
No. You're like, yo, we got to go. Everybody eat your $97 bagel and lox.
Now, I will say this. Lisa and I had this discussion because Lisa obviously lived in L.A. for 7 years. We stayed at either that hotel or the Beverly Wilshire when we were in the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers. And I got to tell you, that's the one where I told you guys when Wiz Khalifa had like three McLarens and all different kinds of cars parked out front. And it was right during like the...
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
All that.
I remember you talking about
that. It is a hoity-toity spot. I mean, and any hotel you're staying at in that area, everything's going to be priced like that because it's right by Rodeo Drive. It's right by, you know, all the tourists. People want to be at that hotel because they're just hoping they see somebody famous in the lobby at one of the restaurants. So, again, that's why I kind of think Verlander's that guy. He would hang out. He likes that kind of environment.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think I would do it too. If I had that kind of money, I'd drop $200 on a meal. Yeah, if I had that kind of Verlander money,
I think that's
people pay $1,000 for a meal. That's too much. Like $5,000 for a meal. I'll drop $200 on a meal if I had Justin Verlander money.
I just still feel
that's the key, though. I think we've talked about this in the past.
If you were born rich and didn't know better, I could see that. But if you come from the three of us, don't come from money.
Right.
Nope.
I can't see paying $38 for a hot dog.
When
I know
when we talked about Harden's
clothing, it's probably
some
bougie ass. Or actually, you know what it is? It's probably just a ballpark Frank from HEB that they just $38. There's nothing special
about
that
presentation.
Hot dog.
With some presentation,
is it a cage free hot dog?
Well, here's the thing.
I would expect a little quality.
This is exactly what we talked about with Harden's clothes too. The same thing.
Yeah.
You know what? at a certain point, based on to Nick's point, when you're making Verlander money, all of a sudden that's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing.
Clothes are a little bit different because I think when you talk about clothes, you talk about quality, you talk about style, and you're going to pay for some of that. I guess if I was rich, I would buy like Louis Vuitton and Gucci shoes and stuff like that.
But if you finesse the game the right way, you don't have to pay for a lot of
right.
your clothes.
But I'm not paying $34 for a hot dog. I don't give a damn if I'm Bill Gates. A hot dog, you can get a pack for $1.99.
You know what else
that's
you can get?
Stupid.
You can get a simulcast in about 5 minutes. We're going to be joined by the Sports Mappers next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.